The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
Welcome to the program. This is Mike Consul reporting. It would be difficult to cite a real estate niche that has garnered more interest and performed better than data centers. Now, I just said real estate niche, but our guests, two executives from Principal Real Estate Investors, would beg to differ. They would argue that data centers have moved from a niche play to center stage in investors' portfolios, which means they have some explaining to do. And we're going to get on with that task here shortly. But first, specifically to our guests, again, there are a couple of executives from Principal Real Estate Investors. That would be Casey Miller, Managing Director and Portfolio Manager at the organization, Todd Kellenberger, who is Client Portfolio Manager for Real Estate Securities at Principal. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
You bet. It's such a great subject. Everybody's so interested in data centers, those great big facilities humming and sucking up tremendous amounts of electricity, although I guess they're not all giant facilities anymore. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, before we get to the meat of the subject, let's begin by having you and Casey. I'll go out of alphabetical order and ask you this question. Tell us something about data centers that would surprise us.
Wow, that's an interesting question. I think something that would surprise us about data centers, what I would say is probably how they are all around us. You may not know what you're looking at, or you're probably not looking for them. But once you do, you would start to notice, the average person could start to notice that they're literally surrounding you kind of in all facets of your life, probably in areas that you would least expect it. You know, most of these facilities don't have a sign on them that would indicate that they are a data center. But once you know the attributes of them, you would quickly be able to recognize, and you would quickly recognize that they, you know, on your commute into work, if anybody's still driving into work.
Well, where would they be? Give us some examples of where they'd be and what the telltale signs are. If I was looking for a data center, obviously, so if I'm in a more suburban or rural area and I see a big warehouse type of structure, I might think that that's a data center. But what are some of the telltale signs, and where might they be located? And are you talking about smaller scale facilities where they're rather than the great big data centers that we think of being run by Google and Facebook and so on?
Yeah, I mean, those ginormous, you know, those really huge facilities by Google or Facebook, any of those big hyperscale users, you can quickly pick those out. But the ones that I'm talking about are probably a little bit smaller. Some of the attributes that you would see is most of them are very secure facilities. They're going to have some kind of a perimeter fencing or secure, you know, border around them. You're not going to be able to easily drive up to these facilities. You know, if you can see them from a top down at all, or get any kind of perspective, generally there's going to be a lot of cooling equipment surrounding them, generators, you know, all of that redundant equipment to keep the facility running. And most of the time it's going to be in abundance of what a normal industrial building would be. Those would be some of the quick tells that you are looking at a data center.
So they're extremely prevalent because they are trying to get close to the end user. Is that right? Is it almost like last mile warehouse, where kind of last mile data centers, where they're trying to get closer and closer to the users, which is everybody these days, to reduce latency? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's okay. One of the reasons. You know, I think all of the users today are trying to get close to the clicks. They're trying to get close to that end user, like you called it, for that simple reason, to reduce that latency. The second is really more on the infrastructure side. They're really trying to locate where where they can, where there's that kind of confluence of power, abundant power, reliable power, and fiber. Without those two, you know, you don't have a data center. And a lot of times that might, you know, that the confluence of those two attributes might only be in a certain area of town or a certain, you know, quadrant where you can have access to both of those in the amounts that these facilities need them.
Interesting. So now you guys have suggested, Todd Kellenberger, I'll direct this one to you. You guys have suggested that data centers, as I said during the intro, have moved from niche in real estate portfolios, a niche real estate category, to now taking center stage. When do you, to begin with, make the case, and when was that threshold crossed? What metrics would you point to say, hey, no longer a niche play. This is the entree right now in a real estate sleeve and within a overall portfolio.
Yeah, sure, Mike. You know, the growth in data centers has been an evolution that's been really been picking up. It called accelerating momentum over recent years. And I'd say it speaks to the evolution and growth of technology in our personal lives and how business functions. This activity, whether it's personal or business, is being occupied virtually more and more every day, or every minute for that matter. And from my perspective, looking at the public real estate markets, which often, you know, when it comes to new or non-traditional real estate sectors, lead way in terms of or within some of these areas, you know, data centers have become an important part of those REIT portfolios. And so while data center REITs have been in existence for well over 10, 15 years, you know, Digital Realty was the first one to enter the MSCI US REIT Index back in 2004. Their prominence in listed REIT benchmarks, and therefore many dedicated REIT portfolios, started probably around 5 years ago, but that's really accelerated almost over the last 2 years. And today, for example, data center REITs are now the largest property sector in our index at roughly about 13% of an index weight. And so they are definitely center stage when it comes to investing in public real estate. Now, I'd have to say, of course, COVID, by the way, has accelerated this, as data center REITs have performed strongly over the last 12 months, while traditional sectors like office and retail, of course, have shrunk considerably. And Casey can chime in here if he disagrees, but when you think about direct private real estate portfolios, data centers started to emerge onto the center stage, we would say, probably in the last 24 months as well. That's when institutional investor interest has really picked up and more capital has flowed into the sector, which is, of course, the most important metric when thinking about, you know, what is in part of portfolios today. And we've definitely seen that growth.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you, Todd. You know, early to mid 2000s, the REITs were the only game in town. And like you said, over the last 18, 24, maybe a little bit longer than that months, the private capital really from all sources has shown up in force. And they are very aggressively bidding on and buying these facilities, investing in them.
Well, now, Todd, you had mentioned public markets, and then you gave a perspective on that, that it sounds like the public markets have spoken on this subject. But is there anything more to say about public markets in terms of the signals they're sending right now with regard to data centers? What are you seeing from the public markets that would be useful that you can interpret for the investors listening in?
Yeah, I mean, the public markets have sent some very clear signals recently about where they see growth and fundamental improvement, value add, and so forth across the real estate spectrum. And data centers have been a big winner of that over the last 12 months as we've dealt with the COVID pandemic and so forth. We've seen actually strong stock price performance out of these data center REITs. And in fact, they were the strongest performers in 2020. And where you look at them today, despite what we call net asset value or NAV estimates for these companies, which is an estimate of the intrinsic value of their assets minus their liabilities, those estimates have grown, but the stocks are still trading at premiums to those estimates. Pretty wide, so call it low double digits and so forth, sometimes higher depending on the company. And what that means is the public markets are saying, we've seen downward pressure on cap rates and so forth, and therefore increase in data centers properties already. But the public market is saying, we think there's more growth ahead. And so data center REITs then trade at that elevated level and have been a very performer than within broader publicly traded REIT portfolios.
Interesting. So that goes to one of the questions that was on my mind, having to do with how enduring are you expecting data centers expansion and performance to be? Because, you know, when I look at data centers now and the enormous growth of just data process, generation of data, storage of data, processing, streaming, and then we've got 5G coming along, which ties into data centers, as well as autonomous vehicles, which are going to be intricately tied to data centers. There seems to be no end in sight on this. Is it possible to even overbuild this sector? I mean, where is the end game here? Or where is, there's always a red flag with investments. It can this sector be overbuilt? Is there any markets with where you do see it being overbuilt? What are the red flags that would just give somebody pause to not get overly enthusiastic about the sector?
I feel like we're in the early stages of this, and I really feel like that is driven by what you just said, Mike. It's the technological advances that are coming at us. You know, if you look at, I believe, depending on which source you cite, on average, every U.S. household right now has 11 or 12 connected devices, and that's projected to more than double, you know, to somewhere around 25 in the next 24 months. And if you just look at what technology is doing, you know, from the advent of a Ring doorbell to a dishwasher to a refrigerator that's connected to the internet. I mean, basically everything anymore is connected and can be programmed and run through some sort of an app. And all of that runs through a data center. You know, that's just scratching the surface when then you fast forward to an autonomous vehicle. The amount of data that it takes, you know, to both operate that and then it generates, and none of that data is getting thrown away. It's all being used and analyzed and then repurposed in some fashion. Even if it's just being stored, it's, you know, it's not being discarded. It's being held and used for some reason.
And there cannot be any latency there, is my understanding. I mean, if you're driving an autonomous vehicle, it needs to make instantaneous decisions. So,
yeah, I mean,
so it needs latency is not latency equals a malperformance and accidents or just a non-performance of the vehicle, let's say.
Yeah.
Todd, I think you were about to weigh in, though. What's your take on that?
Well, a couple of things I'd follow up on. You know, one, just think about the autonomous vehicles. Idea is, you know, 5G is going to be an important part of that. And so with the rollout of 5G, it's going to really open up even more avenues for things like autonomous vehicles and so many other connected devices and so forth, where you can really have that instantaneous connection. So that's an important thing to follow as well. But you had asked, you know, are there red flags and you know, can you overbuild the sector and so forth? You know, I would say agree with Casey as well, is from a big picture standpoint, the sustainability of demand and then what we expect going forward in terms of growth and value, revenues and profits and so forth is very predictable. We believe very sustainable. Now, within the data center market, there are, you know, there's different types of data centers and different strategies and so forth. And so you know, on a relative basis, one might look more attractive than others from time to time. You know, one thing we always watch for when investing in our public data center REITs is the leverage to more of a wholesale type of business where you're leasing to maybe more hyperscale cloud providers and so forth. And there has been a lot of supply into that business, and that just can come in chunks, you could say. And so it's not going to be a smooth ride over because there is so much supply coming in, is what I'm saying. But over time, it's still looking as a business overall that looks very healthy with just a strong structural tailwind of demand behind it.
So let's talk about construction cost and timing. There's certain real estate types, property types, that can go up very quickly in a timely way. The market's ripe for it. They can get it up very quickly. An example being being warehoused. But these facilities, although they're giant boxes and then you fill them with the technology, they have to have these very dependable cooling systems, is my understanding, because you've got all those servers humming away, generating a lot of heat. Got to keep them cool. And that's a whole nother subject. The idea that when you're building a data center these days, are you thinking in terms of how can we supply it with the kind of energy we need, and not necessarily from a utility, which can be very expensive, but what about on-site solar or wind or hydropower, what have you? So kind of a complex question, but the construction cost, ability to put the facility in place and activate it quickly, or is it a longer timeline? The expense of that, considering the cooling that's needed, and then what about factoring in maybe renewable energy right on site, whether that's practical or not? What might you be able to tell us about those areas?
Yeah, big question there. I'll start off, I guess, just from from the real estate perspective. A lot of the work and a lot of the time goes into the process before you ever break ground, or even before you ever decide on a site, because there are so many factors involved. Critical factors, meaning the power and the fiber again, and again having that power from two separate and independent sources. You need to know, you have to make sure before you decide to build that you can access all of that. Because if you can't, then it's not a good location and you shouldn't build it. You shouldn't locate there. So a lot of the time and effort goes into, you know, working with the city or the municipality where you're thinking about, and that local utility company, to make sure that you can have access to abundant amounts of power and fiber. Once you get that figured out, the actual structure itself, can be built in a relatively decent construction time period. But again, the equipment that goes inside of that, a lot of those items are called long lead time items. It takes a while for you to generate, and with the demand, the people that want them today, to order all that specialized equipment or a generator, for example, you can't just run down to the local hardware store and pick up a generator that you need for these facilities. Those require months and months worth of pre-planning and understanding what you're going to need and where you're going to need it, when you're going to need it.
Part of your question was thinking about, what's practical from a sustainability or green energy aspect, because you're right. I mean, these are huge consumers of energy. A large data center property can use as much as 40 megawatts, which could be enough to power 40,000 homes. And so it's becoming a very important issue. And we look at the data center REITs as maybe kind of in some ways on the leading edge of this. And there's really two ways we see them tackling the problem with the energy issue. Number one is, if possible, try to identify and source green energy and utilize it where available. Now, that's very market dependent and site location dependent and so forth, whether it's feasible to do things like solar panels, for example. That is a possibility. But there can be impediments to this, such as local regulations or depending on the municipalities and so forth, and how those are working. You can also, we see things like REITs buying what we call RECs, or renewable energy certificates. This is essentially basically sourcing sustainable power and using it. And maybe if you don't use it all in 1 year, you can actually spread that around as well. But that's another way they can sort of be more green. The other important aspect is the design of the data center itself, and essentially building an energy efficient data center. Where you're locating coolers, how's the energy reaching the servers and so forth, is a great importance. There are certain ratios to measure that, and it basically measure the power usage effectiveness of data centers, servers, and computers within there. I mean, in many ways, what you want to make sure you do is try not to lose heat. How efficient are you are in capturing any lost heat, which is essentially energy? Landlords, whether public or private, who can create and develop a well-designed data center property can help differentiate and become more green, you can say, which is what tenants are looking for. And that can be you know, savings that can be passed through to the underlying tenant, or it can be margin for the landlord or operator. So what we're seeing right now in the public space is Equinix and Digital Realty are at the leading edge of this right at the moment.
And how's that? What are they doing?
It's really just about they're differentiating in terms of a lot of ways the design of what they're doing, how proactive they're being, addressing green energy and more efficient data center design.
You mentioned capturing heat, which is energy. You said, what do they do with the captured heat? Did I understand you correctly? Or you're
right. Mike, this is one of those, I'm not exactly sure then what goes on after that.
Okay. So clearly let me ask you this. If you have a facility that's up and running, but it's sourcing renewable energy from a provider, maybe NextEra Energy or somebody like that, but you have enough land to go ahead and put a solar array there, is that not going to suddenly make that property more profitable? Or is the expense of having the extra land and then building the solar facility so expensive that it's going to take years to recoup the investment? I'm looking for the cost benefit analysis on this. And here's the other thing. Why with all that rooftop, aren't they just covered with solar panels? There must be a practical or impractical reason why they don't just turn the building itself into a power plant.
What we've seen from the users, and whether it's an enterprise user, you know, a large, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 100 type company, or any of the hyperscale users, is this is all very, very important to them. Anything renewable, they are very focused on it, but they're doing it at such a scale I won't say that they're not concerned with it at the property level, but you asked about why not turn that extra land next to the facility into a solar farm. They're doing it in areas of the country where they're dedicating, you know, massive amounts of area to the solar farm, and they're owning that, and that's their way of generating, or maybe it's wind or hydro, whatever it might be, probably all of them.
Are they feeding that directly to the center, or is it an offset sort of thing? Yeah. Like we're generating renewable energy, but we're actually running the center on local renewable energy from maybe the utility.
Yeah, I think it depends, on where they are and what the renewable energy source is. If they have a facility that's located in close proximity to it, I'm sure that they would, try to tap in directly. But probably an offset to the, you know, to the utility companies and providing it back to the grid where they can. And they're making major investments in renewable energy, like I said, on a massive scale.
Go ahead, finish that.
Well, a lot of times the land next to the facility is going to be predetermined to have a, you know, I shouldn't say higher and better use, but a lot of times it's going to be expanded. They're going to build another data center there. So they don't want to put the infrastructure into it or the money into, you know, building a solar farm when they know that in the next, call it two to five years, they're going to expand and build another building there.
What about rooftop solar? I mean, that's a big footprint at a lot of these facilities. Is the weight just too much? Why don't we see more of that? Or maybe I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, they go to great lengths to make sure that facility is absolutely as watertight as they can get it. Yeah, you know, a leaky roof on a data center from a real estate perspective is a bad, bad situation. You can imagine all of your servers in there, and all of a sudden you have a drip, and you can't figure out where it's coming from. So they want as few penetrations in that roof as they can, and that's why I believe that they're taking that off site and putting it on the ground somewhere where the expense of the land
makes sense.
Is more affordable.
So let me, I'm going to stretch you guys on energy. Just one more question, then we'll get on to some other stuff. Are there instances where they have positioned this where they can use geothermal energy, where they can just plug into the ground? We do have plenty of geothermal hotspots in the United States, or even, if I might be so daring to say, nuclear, a small nuclear generator. I mean, there is a Reed College up in Portland, Oregon has a nuclear generator on campus. It's very small. It's for research purposes only. It's not a threat to local residents or anything or the students. But what about nuclear or geothermal? Have you heard any instances of that? I realize that that this might not be an area that you guys have delved into, but if so, enlighten us.
Yeah, I personally haven't worked with any providers that have talked about that, but I'm sure I know up in the, like you said, up in the northwest part of the country, there's a lot of nuclear energy that's being sourced, and I would imagine, I know there's a lot of data centers up there that I would have to imagine there's some percentage of them that are using that or trying to capture that.
So currently, what activity generates the most titanic quantity of data?
Yeah, there's so many sources of data today. Internet activity and video streaming is a big one that I'd say quickly comes to mind. We talked about it earlier than Casey said, being close to clicks. But thinking more currently, the streaming of Netflix, YouTube TV, and everything is really becoming a big chunk of data. And importantly, it requires pushing data, as we said before, all the way to the edge of that IT infrastructure called ecosystem. It's data that needs to be delivered to nearly every household and market. Is why, as we mentioned, it's creating the need for data centers to be in close proximity to population centers, and why they must be located everywhere to accomplish it. Nobody wants to see their Saturday night movie buffering because Netflix's servers are too far away, right? So, but looking actually beyond that sort of personal type of connection there to thinking about data, manufacturing is actually a large consumer right now. And it speaks to the technology that's in those types of plants, the artificial intelligence and so forth. It just requires, it's very data intensive for those types of facilities. And so Digital Realty actually does some work on this in terms of measuring data intensity across different industries. And they provide forecasts and so forth. Just to give you just a snippet of it, what they do is they measure how many gigabytes per second is being used. And this is a measure to basically to say, really trying to capture how much data creation, aggregation, and processing is happening. And the largest industry right now is that manufacturing by industry, which is about 7.3 gigabytes per second. That's what they see right now in 2020. You know what they're forecasting in 2024? 257 gigabytes per second. They're going from 7 to 257. And the banking and financial services sectors where they're forecasting 144% CAGR from over the next 4 years, where it's growing even faster than manufacturing. And so it's nearly impacting all industry in our economy today that is requiring intense data usage, and speaks to then what I was saying before, why there's just such a strong structural tailwind here for this.
Interesting. So data centers, I think if we compared data centers to 10 years ago versus today, we'd see quite an evolution. As you look forward, what can you tell us about data centers? Where are they? Where, if we were to look at a data center 5, 10, 15 years from now, do you guys have any insights to offer us in terms of how they will evolve? What kind of capabilities or new technology will be embedded within data centers that's going to take them to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I think my answer to that would be they are certainly going to evolve, and they have, over the last 10 years or 20 years for sure. Early 2000s, what they were was basically storage devices or storage facilities. It's where you sent all of that data that you didn't want to get rid of. It used to be a warehouse with paper boxes, banker boxes full of paper in it. And now it turned into files. But really what they are now is they're computing centers. Our iPhones aren't actually doing the computing. You're sending a signal to a data center, it's getting processed, and then it's coming back. So I think that they're going to continue to get, instead of bigger, faster, and stronger, they're going to get smaller, faster, and stronger. They're going to be located in more prevalent locations, like you said, along the major freeways where those autonomous cars are going to be driving. Latency is a very bad situation in that instance. So they're going to be needed to be located along the roadways or the infrastructure, you know, where that is. So it might not look like a traditional data center. They'll still be, those facilities will still exist. But I believe in the future, they're going to be, you know, much smaller and located in a lot closer proximity to where that actual computing needs to take place.
I would also add, Mike, you know, they're going to have to be, there's going to have to be innovation or the product will become more commoditized. And so something that's been highlighted because of COVID and what we've seen in the last 12 months is the need and ability by from tenants to be able to remotely access and monitor the servers and so forth within these data center facilities. And what I'm talking about is, you know, if they need to change the power requirements or integrate to a specific cloud provider or simply turn things off and on, there are some activities that that have traditionally needed to be done in person. And some of that was, you know, was difficult to accomplish with social distancing and so forth because of COVID. And that's an amenity and a service of which is going to need to be provided within data centers going forward, we believe, to help differentiate one data center from the next.
Okay, guys, final question. What company or agency controls the biggest array of data centers? You know, I think in terms of Amazon, Google, Facebook, but then I also think about the National Security Agency, you know, the federal spy agency, computer spy agency. Do you guys happen to know what company or agency has more data centers and servers than any other?
In terms of, from a landlord perspective, who has the largest portfolio of data centers, we believe it's Digital Realty here in the U.S. in terms of if you measure their portfolio by power capacity, Equinix would be close behind. Now, what's difficult to measure is, for example, Amazon or AWS for in terms of what they make overall control. Because they have their own data center assets, but then they are also leasing significant amount of data centers from the, you know, a variety of landlords. And so you have to then also think about, well, who are those big players in terms of control or usage of data centers? And you do have to go start with those cloud service providers like Amazon, Microsoft, Google, even Alibaba, and so forth. Those large cloud platforms, whether it's for their own activity or they're offering public cloud or other services for other entities, they are a very significant players as well within the data center space in terms of leasing up and controlling those assets.
And as we know, because it became a controversy, even the CIA doesn't handle its own data. I mean, maybe they handle some of it, but they go to Amazon or Azure, Microsoft's cloud, for their data services. That became a big fight between those two companies about favoritism and such. So these, the other aspect that we haven't talked about is just how secure these need to be, because you're even talking about top secret data from places like the CIA or NSA, unless maybe they, the top secret stuff they handle on site themselves, and rather than putting it out into the cloud. But nonetheless, this is a really interesting subject. There's so many facets to it that we haven't even talked about. You guys have been good sports as usual. I stretched the guests a little bit on their knowledge and they handled it like pros. So our guests have been Todd Kellenberger and Casey Miller, two executives with Principal Real Estate Investors. And their argument, which they made a good case for, is that data centers no longer a niche real estate play. It has moved to center stage of real estate portfolios. And gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.